The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Everybody, and welcome to ReviewParty.com. Thanks for tuning in with us. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
On this podcast, we check out absurd reviews from around the internet and give them a little riff action. Give them a little comedy riffage.
A little riff you for you.
Yeah, a little go riff yourself there. There, kid.
Ouch.
Today I've got a little bit for a cold open, if you will, a little bit. I hope you like it. Matt, please.
If it ain't kibbles, it's bits. So just hand them over.
Right. All right. I hope you got all that comedy juice out of you. I'm about to do the bit. Please don't interrupt until you know it's over. If you interrupt me while I'm doing this bit, I don't know if our friendship will ever be the same. Okay, here it goes. All right, the bit's done.
Is that ASMR drinking?
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I thought ASMR drinking would be a really good bit.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Come on, it's not that bad, is it?
It sounded like one of those little, like, cow noisemakers that you get. I don't know where you get them at the museum gift shop.
Yeah, where you turn them over and they go. Yeah, there's sort of weird air pocket during my chugs because I think I was like trying to both chug and like have my face at the mic to pick it up properly. I really didn't. But yeah, that was for those curious. That was a brisk half and half iced tea plus watermelon lemonade, and this. For watermelon lemonade, the color they decided to go with is Ninja Turtle Ooze Green. Do you want to drink that?
That's the color of the liquid itself, not like can, the branding. The liquid itself is.
It's a. I got a big bottle
of Secret of the Ooze.
Of Secret of the Ooze, I'm gonna turn into a Ninja Turtle. I'm gonna get either a California surfer accent or a New York gangster mobster accent by the end of the episode.
I'm from the Bronx.
Yeah, Raphael's from the Bronx. Michelangelo's from California. Donatello's
just from the 80s.
Yeah, or just from the 80s. Donatello is from your computer class. Leonardo's just a guy, right?
Yeah, he's just like Chad.
Yeah, you're right.
And Vanilla Ice is also a drink you don't want to drink.
What a gripping scene in Ninja Turtles 2 where they're running through the Vanilla Ice concert from Toka and Rezar. And they're bobbing and weaving through the concert trying not to get murdered by the super oozes. I'm just totally revealing what a huge dork I am for Ninja Turtles.
Trying not to get murdered by Vanilla Ice's sick sharp beats. There's never been higher stakes in a movie than Vanilla Ice's concert.
Say what you will about Vanilla Ice's beats and his turtle, 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 yeah, song that he wrote for that, however it goes. But the man can dance.
He can pump it.
He can pump. He can lock. He can pop. Oh, but yeah, so this episode's brought to you by Brisk Half and Half, Secret of the Ooze.
Do they know about that?
No, I'll tell them later.
Okay.
who's got the first review here?
Okay, you mentioned turtles. I have something slightly related to animals, as it were. So here we go. This is an Amazon review from R and the Triplets Grandma. So I'm assuming it's a grandmother who loves her four grandchildren, but one of them more than the other three. And it is a review for Outset Shark Corn Holders, set of four pairs. She titles the review, A Hostess Gift for a Picnic or Fun for the Kitties? Question. They are okay to use, but not great. I collect corn holders, probably have close to 500 different kinds. These are a cute novelty item and fun to give someone who is into fishing. They can be a little awkward to hold. This is the kind of item that is a cute gift to give or let some kids use. Not everyone's cup of tea, though. Will last about as long as the standard yellow plastic ones. 3 stars.
Okay, there's a lot going through my brain that almost burst out with my mouthful of water lemonade.
Secretly use.
Yeah, my mouthful of Ivan Ooze that almost burst all over my mic and computer. For one, my family has some of those like dollar store plastic corn holders. They've lasted my entire life. I don't know without my parents having those.
Like, this is the first year that my family has started to invest in some new corn holders. There was a period, I don't know, maybe when I was in middle school, like, oh, we've got some sports-themed one because our kids are in sports, so we've added a new addition. But yeah, the yellow plastic ones have persisted through the years.
You know, that's kind of ironic that's a big coincidence because my parents have also been trying new corn holders. And they're never as good as the ones we got in the, like, I don't know, they must have got them in, like, 89 before I was born.
Like, wedding gifts. Here you go. You're going to get on that cob, newlyweds. What?
There is no way I'm not giving corn holders as a wedding gift from now on. That's awesome.
That's so good. Because, you know, people got to get their cob on.
Yeah. Here. I encourage you to get your cob on. What a fantastic gesture.
Keep your hands clean. Keep your minds dirty.
Check out this.
I'm glad you picked up on the one thing that really stands out about this review, though.
Right.
Probably have close to 500 different kinds of corn holders.
How does she find the matching pairs in that drawer?
That's true.
Does she have some sort of organization system?
She's got three triplets to work away, slave away at it, maybe.
Stick your hand in, honey. Stick your hand in.
You just withdraw. You're shaking, quivering, bloody stumps. And you, if you're lucky, you have a matching pair.
You're going to need a nice corn holder after you stick your hand in that bear trap of grandma's collection.
Yeah, I know grandma's. They're just old ladies, for one. They're old people, so they've had time to accumulate lots of stuff. If they're into stuff, they've had huge lifetimes to collect them. And some are into bears, some are into clowns. I would have never thought anybody is into collecting corn holders.
Yeah, I guess you saying that, my family who listens, they would be alarmed if I didn't mention my grandmother on my dad's side, she collected snowmen and hearts. So during the winter months, the entire fireplace would just be adorned with hundreds of snowmen, glass snowmen. And then she'd change them out into little glass heart people. And she also collected mugs. And there's a lot of them. It's, like you said, it's a very grandma thing to do, but I just can't wrap my head around how the only way you could keep those organized and get proper pairs together, which I don't want to eat corn with mismatched socks.
That's not good.
So to speak. Right. You got to have some sort of crazy organization system, unless there's little rubber bands.
Maybe some I have seen, especially the newer ones that my family've got. They actually, like, lock into each other. Like sexually, almost. Their little prongs.
There's a male and a female corn holder.
You rotate them 90 degrees, and the prongs just sort of like scissor. To not make it gross, but that's the best way I can describe it.
So then the scientist went into the corn holder engineer went into the work, and he's like, I got it. Corn holders have been down. They're going to be back up, baby. Lesbian corn holders. All the scientists. Yes.
They're standing up like they just landed something on the moon.
Right. You ever see those NASA videos where they like make the moon landing and they're all like missing high fives?
They're all wearing short sleeve white shirts.
Yeah. Pocket protectors. Just whiff it. They don't know the elbow thing.
They studying the wrong subjects, obviously.
But I think cornholder guys, those are cool engineers. They know the elbow thing.
Maybe this grandma is like one of those OG GMAs, and she had the old set of spoons in the wooden and felt sort of picture viewing box, and she just chucked those silver spoons out and started putting corn holders in special display cases.
500? How many display cases do you need for 500?
Can you imagine the estate sale when, or if you're less bougie, just the garage sale when grandma passes and you're trying to get rid of all this stuff? People are like, oh, so what, your grandma had some furs, she had some china. That's a lot of corn holders.
I can't imagine corn holders go up. Antique corn holders, they can't be worth anything, right? No. I mean, maybe I'm just unawares of the world of artisanal corn holders, but that shit's just plastic with metal rods in it.
Yeah.
No, back in my day, we had corn holders. They were our hands. All right, our fingers, and we liked it. Little there. That's for the boomers in the audience. You're welcome.
Years from now, our common American diet will be able to be identified purely from this woman's cornholder collection.
Ah, yes, they must have stabbed these prongs into their foodstuffs and eaten with their hands, but keeping their hands clean like civilized beasts.
Hmm. A little callback to last episode. I hope we put cornholders in those pods we shot out to aliens to teach them about our culture. Yeah.
They'll get down with the corn. Everybody's got a cob.
Oh, I feel like it's time to move on, but we haven't made any corn jokes.
We had an Iowa segment a few episodes ago. I don't know how much
corn's from Iowa?
Some corn. A lot's from Nebraska. A lot's from Illinois.
I mean the band Korn.
Oh, God.
The Mbappa Mbappa didn't give it away.
I thought that was just like country bumpkin corn music.
Yeah, kinda. Now I gotta look up where Korn with a K. Korn with a K. What about this? How does this one hit you? I'm just a freak on a leash. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, this grandma is going to add them to her collection.
Oh, my God. Does Korn, the band, have corn holders?
They probably just hold it for you. They have roadies for them. When they're up there on stage jamming, their heads are banging, and the little roadie creeps up and holds a piece of corn in front of their faces. Oh.
Korn is from Bakersfield, California. That makes a lot worse. That's a lot less funny than if they were from Iowa.
Yeah, you don't bake corn.
Yeah. Shout out Jonathan Davis. He's listed on, I think to bookend this, we'll say Jonathan Davis is listed on Wikipedia as lead vocals and bagpipes for the band Korn. All right, I got a review here. This one was sent in by the lovely Tatiana Bailey. Thank you so much for sending this one in. Mm-hmm. This is a review for ABC Country Restaurant in Coquitlam, British Columbia, Canada. The review is by SVG. He or she writes, in all caps, had farmer sausage skillet. loved the food. Hadn't had farmer sausage for over 10 years. Was totally delicious! There's 1,000 exclamation points. 5 stars.
I don't want to make any off-color jokes.
I mean, this guy hasn't had farmer sausages for over 10 years. I want to know what's stopping him.
He can't get farmer sausage everywhere, I'm guessing?
British Columbia, I mean, it's got Vancouver, it's got one of the biggest cities in California, but it's got farms, too.
It's biggest cities in where now?
In Canada. What did I say?
Bakersfield.
Oh, Bakers, one of the biggest cities in Bakersfield, California, where corn is from. Right. How come corn doesn't have any songs about...
Farmer's sausage.
Yeah, farmer's sausage skillets.
Is that related to, like, farmer's insurance? It's a one-stop shop.
Man, yeah, you go into farmer's insurance, instead of, like, a popcorn machine, you get some free popcorn while you're...
Or, like, IKEA with their meatballs.
Yeah, they just got, like, a... it's a popcorn machine filled to the brim with sausage.
They're just dancing around.
Yeah, they're just sort of getting mauled around. I guess there is those, like, rotating hot dog racks at gas stations.
I wouldn't call... That's not a sausage.
Yeah, that's not as funny.
It's a perversion. I want Sal to reach in there with his little... he's got a paper hat on.
Thanks for coming in today, sir. Always good to see you.
Did you make sure you get your complimentary breakfast sausage? Farmer sausage.
I've never heard of farmer sausage in my life. I'm just going to put it right out there. And I'm not going to go for the cheap joke like, there's farmers in it. It's Soylent Green. Ooh.
Yeah, what's the difference? What I didn't even think about. What's the difference between farmer sausage? I know the difference between breakfast sausage and sausage. That's a kind of sausage.
I'm guessing, like, there's chef's salad. And it's like, I don't, or the chef's choice.
Okay, I Googled, everybody out there, I saved you the Google. I Googled farmer sausage. People, and under the people also ask, it's what is farmer sausage? I'm about to click it and we'll discover together. Farmer sausage is uncooked and made with simple ingredients, ground pork, salt, and pepper. However, the sausage is cold smoked, meaning it's smoked but not cooked. It's mild pork, but the smoke distinguishes it from any cooked sausage. So it's just boring sausage. I haven't had boring sausage in years. That's what this guy's upset about.
I haven't had that cold sausage in a dog's age.
I mean, just salt and pepper. I think sausage is fun because it's all kinds of stuff in there, right?
Yeah. You get your little something spicy in there. Something, I don't know if that was supposed to crunch, but it did.
Yeah, some lips. Some lips in there, too. I wish I knew more corn songs so I could sing a corn song about farmer sausage. Cold smoke. That's about as far as it goes.
I feel like I'm in a different world because cold smoking, I've never heard of that either.
Oh, that's maybe
I'm so out of my element.
Maybe that's the youper in me, the northern Michigander in me. That's old news. Okay. It's smoking it, but you're not compacting the heat in the smoke enough to cook it.
Off the direct heat.
Right, you're just infusing the smoke flavor, but you're saving it to be cooked later.
The spirit of the wood will be embodied in your sausage.
Yeah, the wood ghosts aren't hot enough to cook it, but they are massaging the sausage as they go
they
by.
Give little smoke kisses.
Yeah, as they up into the atmosphere, up into the Vancouver atmosphere.
Okay. All right.
Was totally delicious.
That's good. That's good. I've got someone reviewing a restaurant who did not have a good experience.
Hit me with it.
This harkens back actually to that same Iowa review from a few weeks past where it doesn't seem like it's really the restaurant's fault. Only in this case, it might be a little bit more, but nonetheless. Kippy Galliano went to Burnt Toast. It's a brunch restaurant.
Okay, okay.
There's a note I want to make about this review. Kippy uses lots of ellipses. So there's multiple instances of dot, dot, dots in her review. So I'm going to try my best to give the spirit of Kippy and her dot, dot, dots.
Okay.
I went out for breakfast with my Marine via FaceTime. It was terrible. Skirt steak was flavorless and literally as thin as a piece of paper, and the scrambled eggs were raw and runny. Server had no personality, and a robot could have done the same job. I didn't complain because of my son taking me out for Mother's Day. Again, via FaceTime. So disappointed. Frowny face, 1 star. Who's she mad at here? Who's
herself.
She really mad at?
Herself. I think you were baiting out she's mad at the sun, right? But
that, yeah, that's what I think. Maybe a bit.
I think she's just not a very happy person. So much was, I'm trying so hard not to go off on an English major rant about how people don't know how fucking ellipses work. All right, so just let it be known. You people out there using ellipses don't know how it works, dude. All right, especially the two-dot ellipses. That's not a thing. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, there were multiple two-dotters here.
Oh, my God, dude. I can't. So when I see that, it's like, what do you mean? I've called people out about it on Facebook, and they just don't say shit, dude. And obviously, they probably don't say anything because I'm being hostile, but
right?
It just makes me insane. It makes me, you can see, I am going insane.
I'm there with you. I read it, and I don't know how long to pause here.
Yeah, I think they think it means you take a longer pause than a period, but maybe not quite as long as a three. But
three dots.
Three dots doesn't really mean a pause.
I three dot dare you.
I'm three dot. Feeling like it's three dot dared to jump off a cliff after hearing this idiot's review.
Well, please fill us in on the proper utilization of your ellipsis.
When you're quoting something, mm-hmm. and you're shortening the quote, there's something irrelevant in the quote that you don't mean to reference, you put an ellipsis in it.
Some garbage in there. You skip right over.
Yeah, there's. It just means you're skipping something. It doesn't mean a big pause. You can also use it at like the end of a paragraph when someone's talking to like show they kind of trailed off. But also that implies there's information missing. I'm done with that. Let's talk about it.
Oh, Kippy.
Let's talk about her robot waitress, because I think that was just mean.
Who is she to say the robot is a waitress when she's got a video screen son that she's eating with?
All right. She's doing the Pokemon anime, like talking to Professor Oak screen during lunch.
Well, good dish.
It was the son at a different restaurant, or was he just like talking to her and Venmoed her some cash for the meal?
Yeah, I struggle to understand how he took her out when she's lugging her iPad or phone or something. Because my assumption is he's deployed or something like that. Or
yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Why else would you be doing it via FaceTime?
Right. I mean, in our modern post quarantine world, but that review wasn't written then. I get that this review was before that. This was just right. A weird lady talking to a phone in a restaurant before that. People could give her the benefit of the doubt.
I feel bad for the son, most of all.
Yeah, let's say he's deployed, or he can't actually take her out, and he's like, Mom, let's try this thing. Let's try this, you know? We can do it over FaceTime. I'll pay for the meal. Let's go for it. And she just, you know, she she said she didn't say anything because she was grateful, you know that's a lie.
Yeah.
You know, even if she didn't explicitly say something, she is razzle-dazzling her son the whole dang-dazzle time.
He's seeing every roll of the eyes through the tiny screen while watching my mom eat and scoff at the waitress.
You're right. You see her, the mom, like, not say thank you to the waitress when she brings stuff. Right. That makes me crazy.
But, Mom, we always say thank you.
I don't know if you did this on purpose, but you locked and loaded a review in the into the podcast canon to fire at me to wreck my shit.
To wreck you? I'm sorry. I know I just did a review, but I got a review that's going to wreck both of us because I've been sitting on this hot piece of something for a long time. This is a review written by WRJ for JB Alberto's Pizza. It's... I don't even, it's in Rogers Park, northernmost neighborhood of Chicago. I've been there. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. WRJ writes, average. 1 star.
Oh, that's not.
That enrages me.
He doesn't know what average means.
He does not know what stars mean. It's one or the other. It's. Oh.
This dude needs an astrology class.
It boils my cabbage. I don't know.
That's okay. Yeah, I think we've waxed poetic about how pissed we are. But yeah, JB Alberto's, I've had it too, actually. Place is great. That's like a Chicago institution, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, there are multiple locations.
It's okay. I'm gonna take us somewhere nice.
Take me to a safe place.
This is a review submitted us to a good friend of the podcast, Elijah Majnik. Thank you, Elijah.
Thank you, Elijah.
This is a review for Piccadilly Pizza in Oconto Falls.
Okay.
It's a review by More Pizza.
Yeah, well, take us someplace better than that one.
Yeah. It is a review by Owen Sieber on Google Reviews. He said, fantastic, delicious pizza, nice variety of candy, and such things. I would eat there every day of my life if I could. 5 stars. And again, what's stopping you? I want to know what's stopping Owen from eating there every day.
Commit, man.
Commit.
Don't just talk a big game like you're trying to impress everyone who's reading your review on Google. Come on.
Eating pizza, I mean, you have to assume it's health. It's a health reason, right? And eating pizza every day is unhealthy. But, I mean, if it sounds like he really wants to. If you have a light granola breakfast and a nice salad for lunch, you can get away with having pizza for dinner every day, I think.
I would agree. Yeah, there's enough variety there, too. You don't always have to get something that's loaded with cheese and meat.
Yeah, and apparently there's a variety of candy and such things.
And such things. Such things you would not imagine. Your eyes have been closed to the possibility of everything.
Piccadilly Pizza. I don't know if this is the Piccadilly chain or if this is just sort of co-opting the name. Oh, my goodness. Piccadilly Pizza, I looked into it a little bit, and I think it's just a grab by the slice place in a gas station.
What?
Yeah, I think this guy, this poor person from O'Connell Falls, Wisconsin, that's the best pizza he can get.
I've been through my share of small Wisconsin towns, and yeah, you got like your cousin's subs at the gas station.
Yep.
It's either a great variety of candy or a cousin's sub. What do we do?
I mean, to give the benefit of the doubt, there are like truck stoppy gas stations with decent restaurants in them. That's not unheard of. But I don't know, looking at this little Google Maps picture, I don't know if that's the case.
This place had such a good variety of gasoline, too.
Blew my mind.
Oh, it is definitely the Piccadilly chain. I see that dumbass little lion staring at me. And maybe, actually, of all the chains, Piccadilly Pizza has a wild variety of quality. I've been to...
Okay.
Yeah, I've been to a few, and they're all different. But this guy... Anyway, I digress. Whether, you know... Do what makes you happy, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do this podcast because it makes me happy. We walked away from those stupid grammar... We looked inside ourselves and knew we couldn't meditate on those dumb people's dumb grammar anymore. And so I thought, let's talk about Piccadilly Pizza and this
man. I can take you higher.
To a place named Piccadilly Pizza.
Piccadilly Pizza. I'm going to have to actually listen to some Korn so I can actually get these jokes.
Yeah, let's, you want to take a little break, listen to some Korn?
Let's take a break. I'll pop some Korn.
Get your Korn holders, because we are about to spin that record.
I can take you higher.
That riff.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, screw Creed. Creed sucks, but that riff. Whoever wrote that riff.
Do we want some sick guitaring throughout this song? No, man.
After I say this line, it'll be sweet.
Crunch it up.
That'll make any white boy fired up to get in the mosh pit. Hearing that.
Yeah.
They'll think they're a paladin. Ready to throw some holy hammers. That's what Korn was missing. That's why Korn... Actually, Creed sort of died. Korn's still going.
Yeah.
Let's do a mashup. Someone do a mashup of those two sweet songs.
Yeah, that'd be pretty tight.
All right, let's take a break.
I think we took a break a while
ago. Oh, yeah.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. ReviewParty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Welcome back, everybody. We just listened to some Korn, and it was worse than we thought possible. So we're going to turn to our time-honored segments upon further review. And I got my eyes set on something special today, Brent, and I say so because I want to talk about contact lenses.
I like, those are cool.
Yeah, are you a partaker of contact lenses very often?
No, I tried them when I was a kid, and I just couldn't get used to the eye-touching thing. Not that I was scared of it, it was just difficult, and I've never really gone back.
Yeah, thankfully, I'm fortunate enough, I don't require, like, assistive eyewear. But I would have a problem with touching my eye. And it was just, ugh, ugh.
Yeah, it's just a hard reflex to get over.
Ugh. So, glasses have been around for a long time. You go back, you see ancient art and stuff. Dudes sporting some sick lenses. Sick frames. Let's play the game that we played with vending machines. When do you think contact lenses came to be?
No.
And it's going to be, it's going to be a kind of the same thing where the concept, the modern concept and the original concept diverge wildly. But just take a shot at it.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say 1920s.
Okay. That's a safe limb to be out on, because around then was when some real good ones started getting made.
Okay.
But the first concept of contact lenses was from this dude named Leonardo da Vinci in his 1508 Codex of the Eye.
That wily old bastard.
But here's how wily he was. He speculated that submerging a head in a bowl of water could alter the vision. He's like, hey, we've got this fishbowl. If you dunk your face in there, the curve of the fishbowl is probably going to help some stuff. So
sweet.
It wasn't a very practical solution. The next person to actually make like a milestone on it was this dude called René Descartes. Therefore I am.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Renee Zellweger.
She is so well accomplished, we have no idea how much we owe her.
I bet she wears contacts.
I bet she does too.
Anyway.
Sorry. Renee's concept was a bit better than Da Vinci's because it wasn't just like bobbing for apples in a fishbowl. He had an idea of taking glass tubes, filling them with water, and you would actually make contact with your eyes. That's where the contact comes from, with the glass tubes. So, like a test tube filled with water and you're holding it to your eyeball. The problem with that is you can't blink because you have tubes held up to your eyes.
Some good water in there.
You guys, just the briniest brine, the finest. Took until 1801, a dude was like, okay, we can make this better. He reduced the size of the glass tube to a quarter inch and used wax to stick these things to people's eyeballs. And
I don't like any of this, Matt.
Yeah, it was pretty bad for a while for the most part. The 1880s, we started getting really good at cutting glass and things like that. Mm-hmm. But at this point, the glass was brownish and the things would cover your entire eyes. So people could only wear them for, I don't know, not too long, an hour, because they were in such intense pain.
Oh, my God.
And then by the late 20s, as you mentioned, things started getting really good because we were able to make molds of eyeballs and have them actually fit people's eyes and get them down to just the iris that we know of. We started working with plastics and stuff and getting them thinner and thinner and more comfortable to what we have now.
I'm calling the police. I wasn't scared. I just couldn't get used over the reflex of blinking when you went to poke your eye. Now I'm scared again. You put the fear of God back in me.
Yeah, I'm on board with Da Vinci. I could do that. I could dunk my face in some water and look through.
Now listen, Da Vinci, he's the best.
He had it. Put the newspaper down on the table, put your bowl of water over the newspaper, and you just stare through the bowl. You got to come up for air every couple of minutes or something. But.
So if you don't think you look good in glasses, you can just sort of do a Sandy Cheeks situation.
Yeah.
Or you put a big water bowl over your head and et cetera.
All right. That's not a good Sandy.
That's not a good Sandy. Now here's a good Sandy. SpongeBob!
Yes?
What in tarnation, SpongeBob?
What in tarnation?
Dirty Dan.
Devolve into SpongeBob impersonations.
But they're really good ones.
But it could.
These are really good ones. Patrick. I mean, I could do a Patrick impression, but that might actually be good. So I'm not going to. See, that one was too good.
I aim for perfection. I don't want to say I'm going to do an Australian accent and then clearly do an English accent like I have been known to do in the past. Yeah,
and then get belittled by your co-host with a Cockney accent for the next next minutes. Who else talks on that show? Plankton? Let me do a Plankton. I want the Krabby Patty. See? A+.
That was pretty good. Yeah, it started out, it sounded a bit like Helga, our Amazon reviewer. Haven't seen her around lately, but...
Yeah, she's, I don't know, there's been some contract disputes.
controversies.
Some controversies. She didn't really like when I talked about, she doesn't really like Brisk, and now Brisk is sponsoring the show, and yeah, I don't know where it's a big to do. I got a review.
Okay, move us along.
Yeah, it's
I'm ready.
Thank you. SpongeBob, I've got a review. This is from a good friend of mine. This review is submitted by Emily Saliba. Thank you, Emily. This is a to preface, Matt and I talked a little bit about this earlier. This is the gag of this review is visual, and we are aware that the podcast is not a visual medium, but we're hoping that the description of the pictures will be a source of comedy. And if not, it should be pretty easy to find through some Googles. So get out there, Google warriors. Anyway, this is a review for the Wally freestanding dual LCD monitor, fully adjustable desk mount, fits two screens up to 27 inches, 22 pounds, weight capacity per arm, with grommet base black. So it's a grommet? Dual grommet? Our grommet, I got the cheese on the toast. so yeah, it's an LCD monitor holder.
Okay.
It was written by Paul Panchula on Amazon. And he titles it "Not Used for Intended Purpose."
Okay.
The review reads, "And my friend said I wouldn't go anywhere in life. Purchased the gas charged one, and it was a nightmare. This one was so easy to set up and use." And he said submitted some pictures. He has two of the monitors on top of his modified Ford truck. The truck has been made convertible. It's a convertible Ford truck with the bed behind it, and over the rotation, what is it called, the bar, that the spin out bar, anyway, there's a bar over the thing, and
the roll bar. Yeah.
Roll bar, thank you, the roll cage bar thing, and it's got the LCD monitors connected to it, and he has four desk fans attached to the monitors where the monitors go, blowing air down into the cockpit, so to speak, of the thing. I'll send you the review on Discord, Matt, if you want to take a look. But yeah, it's an Amazon review by Paul Panchula, one word if you want to look it up at home, but it's disgusting. It's the worst example of redneck engineering you've ever seen.
Yeah. What makes it worse? Did you say this was a Ford? Because
is it not?
I'm getting some heavy Chevy S10 vibes.
Oh, this may be an yeah. I think you're right. Ford just came because I just thought, you know, redneck truck.
Right.
It just came to tell me the words.
There's like a garbage bag.
Garbage day. Oh, there is like a garbage bag on the back. Yeah, you don't.
I don't know what's going on, but it definitely looks like Florida.
It is. Oh, yeah, there's palm trees. This is Florida as it gets. Yeah, I don't even know what's going on with that contraption in the back there.
It looks like it is actually a Toro mower. I'm just guessing because it's red.
Does that power the fans?
Probably.
I mean, wow. How much cheaper is this than getting your air conditioner fixed? If he's got enough ingenuity to use these LCD monitors to set up these desk fans, can he just fix his air conditioner?
Get some Freon in there. Take it. They'll pump it in. I don't know. People confuse me.
Have we hit the pissed off mode of the review again?
No. What else could you do to make this vehicle even better? I'm thinking, you get like some fish balls from Leo da Vinci, yep. And you get some of those little, like the little puka puka fish, I think they are, that okay. Nibble on your feet to get the dead skin off.
Oh, yeah,
you put
yeah.
That down next to the between, you get a slim one and you put it between the gas and the brake. That way, if your feet get too hot, you dunk them in there and you get two birds with one stone. Two fish are fed with your foot skin.
Yeah, we're really taking this to the next level, making it into a full spa.
pimp this thing out.
When you said how would I improve this, I just thought like
a gladiator, like hot girl.
Gladiator
hot girl on the front.
Yeah, hot girl on the front, obviously, or on the side, like a fighter jet, a pinup on the side.
Yes.
But I was thinking gladiator spikes on the wheels.
Oh, yeah. That you driving on those Florida turnpikes, you got to watch out. People try and steal your ride like Mad Max.
Yeah.
Shout out Iowa.
Yeah, this guy's ready for Mad Max. Florida's crazy during... Florida's already like Mad Max. What's it going to be like when it's really Mad Max?
Maybe underwater. I don't know.
Oh, underwater Mad Max? Oh, isn't that just Waterworld?
Waterworld.
Man, I thought we were about to write a hit movie, but pretty sure Waterworld tanked. I think as soon as people saw Kevin Costner drinking his own piss in the opening credits, that shit tanked.
I know you didn't intend it this way, but it fish tanked.
That's comedy. That's the grade A shit highbrow stuff you're gonna get on ReviewParty.com.
H2O. I have a review from Goodreads for Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Austin's
reviewing this. He writes, "Every child eventually discovers the perverted old man who wrote songs for Johnny Cash, did illustrations for Playboy, appeared on the Dr. Demento show numerous times, and managed to get a few books published along the way. For some reason, parents never seem to think this creepy guy who was so fond of children was in any way disturbing. Something I'm continually impressed with in the Ban Now, Ask Questions Later climate of modern culture. If there are people who don't like Shel Silverstein, I don't want to meet them. Or, more to the point, you shouldn't meet them if that is an option. Children need to experience this kind of creepy, weird, funny, sad stuff, not just for their own sake, but for the sake of having a conduit through which they can make sense of most of the rest of the world. Knowing that Shell sees things this way too makes it all easier to take, and makes your own oddness that much more tolerable. We as humans need to come to terms with inexplicable and unfathomable in the world. And it wasn't until Shell that we began to realize that the only way to gently help our children do just that is to let a perverted old weirdo with a large stack of Playboys in this basement lead the way. 5 stars.
Man. I know he's trying to, he's being nice to Shell. I think that's his goal here. Or his or her, the review author's goal here, right? But
yeah,
why don't you just be nice to Shell?
Yeah, you don't also need to drag his name through the mud.
Right. So what if the dude, you know, the struggling artist got some gigs in Playboy for drawing some cartoons?
I feel like he's, I don't know, trying to illustrate how righteous he is by not judging Shel Silverstein for this.
Right, he's like, look how good I am. I can know that Shel Silverstein has a cartoon in Playboy and still think he's very cool.
I like Shel Silverstein.
Now, for me, for my money, Shel Silverstein is an old freaky pervert, but I still love him.
Yeah, he's shining a spotlight on so many flaws that people probably didn't even know about. I think I'd known maybe he'd done some stuff for Playboy, but I didn't know anything about Dr. Demento or writing songs for Johnny Cash or all these other things.
That just makes him cooler.
Yeah, he's a multifaceted, weird dude.
Right, right. And who are these people thinking that kids don't have weird stuff to watch? Have you seen Ed, Edd n Eddy? Ren and Stimpy, that shit's crazy.
Oh, now, Ren and Stimpy.
You could say that Shel Silverstein's probably the forefather of those situations. I think there's an argument to be made, but like, there's no shortage of weird stuff out there for weird kids to enjoy. And I'm saying that as a weird kid who found solace in weird Shel Silverstein books.
I remember reading this book with my grandmother. I don't remember the name of it. It's probably like Stanley Makes a Christmas Star or something. It was these little, a family of alligators, and the alligators, it's Christmas time, and they're decorating, and little Stanley Alligator wants to help decorate, but he drops the star and it shatters. So his, I don't know, I'm just going to say it was his grandmother because it was a book I read with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. But one of his family members is like, don't worry, Stanley. Let's cut some cardboard in the shape of a star and wrap it in tin foil. And when Stanley saw the shape of the star, like it looks like a kid cut it out because an alligator boy using his claw hands had to do this. But his eyes just looked so tripped out on drugs. Just looking at this tinfoil star. And even as a kid, I'm like, that's wacky.
Yeah, but who gives a dingus whether or not the dude made a cartoon in Playboy or hung out at the mansion or whatever?
They like to put druggy eyes in their kids' books.
Right. That's just par for the course.
We're going to see it eventually. You might as well warm us up to it.
Yeah, I don't
warm us up to the idea.
To be fair, we're not taking a stance on cancel culture either way. You know, there's some bad people out there who deserve to be called out. But if dead ass Shel Silverstein is one of them, why even call it out? Just say it
doesn't this, make any sense.
It doesn't. Just say this book is wacky.
It's not quite like, hey, my wife has fake tits, but I love them. Like what? Just
say you love your beautiful wife.
Yeah, don't demean her in any way. Don't objectify her, Gustav. Come on,
Gustav. That's the.
He makes a lot of money. He's a male model.
What?
That's why he's so vain. He's so vain, and he likes his wife's body to be an object of vanity itself.
Who is Gustav?
He's an imaginary person.
Why'd you name him Gustav?
It seems Floridian. He's a male model in Florida.
I don't think there's any male models in Florida named Gustav, man.
He changed it.
There's a lot of... Oh, okay. There's definitely a male model who thought he is more remarkable named Gustav. But he spelled it with two O's.
Gustav. Gustav will give you the goo.
Yeah, I was going to make a goose joke, but the goo joke is way. There's way more gold in them hills.
Geese frighten me. We've seen too many geese together.
Yeah, where we went to college was had a goose infestation. There's one in particular who would go on the top of the chapel, just sort of in the middle of campus, like huge, crazy cool chapel in the middle of campus, and this goose would sit on top and like watch people
menacing
walk to class, and then sometimes it would just the scariest goose of all time.
It was the Hitler goose.
Wasn't that the nickname? Was that the
That's
nickname?
Not a lie. We call it the Hitler goose. and its little SS squad, so called because they were below Hitler, but also because they goose hisses. Ugh.
I talk a big game with geese. I like to picture myself like if a goose ever came at me, a giant adult man, I think I would be able to grab it by the neck, like just under the head, and like, you don't mess with me, goose, and scare it off, right? But I know when it comes down to it, I was taking a walk yesterday down the river, and there's some geese there, and they were looking at me, and I was really scared.
I was attacked by a swan when I was younger. It was not a good time.
Did
a lady yelled
you?
At me for, huh?
A lady yelled at you?
She was like, stop messing with the swan. I'm just by this pond. This swan comes up from nothing and, ugh, mean
that,
birds.
That swan is a lot like this guy who wrote the review, to tie it back. Shel Silverstein was just making weird books for kids. And this guy's like, he's a creepy old pervert, but I love him. That's what that lady would, and the swan. And really.
Making noise for no reason.
Right. Making this reviewer was just goose hissing. Gustav the goose hisser. Not to be confused with Gustav the goose kisser.
I'm not familiar with him.
Oh, Shel Silverstein wrote that one, don't you know?
Now I do.
Gustav the Goose Kisser. If you don't like him, pow, right in the pisser. There's the famous Gustav the Goose Kisser poem by Silverstein, sponsored by Brisk Tea.
Hmm. Tasty.
Man, we are really off the rails. Thank you for joining us on this off the rails podcast featuring the wackiest sense of humor, sponsored by Brisk. if you'd like to send us a review, are we good?
Yeah.
Is this a cool transition?
Yeah.
All right, I got approval. If you want to send us an absurd review, please send an email to with a hyperlink to the review to reviewparty.com@gmail.com. Include your name. You can throw your credit. You can also find a link to that email on our website, reviewparty.com.com. That's reviewparty, .com.
If you happen to find yourself on the website too, on the bottom of our homepage, you can find a little sign up for a newsletter. We write blogs on the website as well about reviews in many ways, shapes, and forms. So if you'd like to be informed about those blog posts and our episodes, sign up. You never know what might be in one of our little missives.
Right. Following on Spotify and iTunes is always a great way to follow us. But if you're not someone who listens to podcasts regularly on there and maybe checks your email more often, the newsletter is a great way to be informed when new stuff drops. And obviously every Tuesday morning, a new episode of this filthy oozy podcast, sponsored by Brisk, be up.
We want to thank Nosebleeds, like we always do, for letting us use their song Bread for Breakfast. You can find them on Spotify as well, and any day now, they'll have some new tunes for you to croon to.
Yep, we have no right to put them under pressure to put their new songs out sooner, but I've been told they'll come out very soon, and I'm very excited.
Certified better than corn.
Sort of, definitely, yeah, if you, Nosebleeds is definitely better than... I mean, maybe Nosebleeds should have a song where they do some more scatting. Some more... They should really have some more of that. But all in all, they're much better. Yeah, please subscribe on Spotify or iTunes. Leave us an iTunes review. We don't have one. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes. If you make it funny, we might even say it on air. Wowie zowie.
Mm-hmm.
If you want some apparel, as we said, you can go to reviewparty.com.com and click on shop.
Shop.
I think that's all the pluggies.
I'm plugged up.
We're plugged up. We're all plugged up, so let's clean ourselves out with one final palate cleanser review, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
This is a review for Killing It With Reviews, the small business guide to getting 5-star reviews on Yelp, Google, and other online sites. It's a help book. The reviewer named Kindle Customer writes, "The book had some tips. 3 stars.
Bust out the Bissell.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
Take it easy out there, folks. Boom.